shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 74 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversations and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. You can find us on www.patreon.com/grills. I'm Linda, and I'm here with my co-host, September, also known as 9 of 12, and the Jen. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So, what have y'all been up to this week?
Well, I was sick. Oh man, I hate being sick. And I'm like a terrible sick person too, because like I get sick and I'm like, okay, I'm not at work today, so I need to do productive things around my house. Which is like, okay, Jen, take a minute, like relax. So I tried to force myself to relax. So I did like alternating between like, okay, I'm going to do two rounds of PUBG and then I'm going to get something done around my house. And then I'm going to take a nap. That's basically the rotations that I did over the last week. I finally got my voice back fully yesterday. But yeah, so I did stream a sicky stream, which was funny. And we did it was a 4-hour stream. It was insane. I did the Walking Dead Telltale game. I started season 1, episode 1. Really fun. I've been actually having a lot of fun playing it and also chatting about it while I was playing it. That guy is the klutziest guy. It's silly. It's so, there's parts of it that are just absolutely silly, but it is really, really fun. So I've been doing that. I played lots of PUBG. I've been watching the Overwatch League started. So now we have all the teams in the Overwatch League and I'm enjoying it a lot. I like Overwatch a lot. I have two major issues. One, why are there two LA teams? We couldn't get another we couldn't get like a Southwest city or I don't know, any other city. A different country even was an option. I mean, how is it that we have multiple countries represented and we have two LA teams? Come on.
Maybe there's some sort of, you know, Hatfield McCoy thing going on.
All I know is that
there's a concentration that
Smelly has two teams.
I think it's a concentration in Silicon Valley of esports.
Silicon Valley is Northern California. That's San Francisco.
Right.
But they do have a team in San Francisco, which I was excited about. And, of course, I'm supporting the San Francisco team entirely because I'm from Northern California originally. So that's probably why I'm so bitter about it, is because LA always gets, like, kind of overrepresented. So that's issue number one. Number two, none of the players are from the cities. Or even the countries, like the entire roster of like one of the LA teams is from Korea. One of them is like half Canadian, half European, with a couple Koreans thrown in. I actually think that out of all of the American teams, there might only be like one or two Americans. I don't know. I haven't quite figured it out yet exactly which ones, because the ones that I thought were American, I found out are actually European. So I don't even know. Like, why are we giving them city names? At that point, just make it the black and gold awesome guys. Why does it have to be associated with the city if the city literally means nothing? So I don't know. I'm kind of, or we could have done regions. I don't know. You could have done like Europe. I like the worlds better. Maybe not necessarily the countries specifically, but like breaking it up and doing like a region would have been cooler. It just feels like it's so arbitrary, like the cities. But I did go and buy my cool skins. I bought the San Francisco skin for all the heroes that I play. And I'm supporting it, of course, because I like watching it and I'll watch it. So those are my beefs, but I'm still going to watch it, of course. Oh, and I saw Jumanji, which was really good. It's funny.
Oh, cool.
I would say it's really good. I mean, it's not like a high-quality film, but it was really funny. I actually really enjoyed it. And as much as I hate Jack Black, I did really enjoy watching him play, pretend like he's a woman or a teenage girl trapped in an overweight middle-aged man body. That was actually pretty hilarious. I cracked up pretty hard at a lot of the jokes. Also, that guy is Tom Hanks' son. There's one of the actors in it. And I don't know why I always forget that he's like Tom Hanks' son. He's like randomly in stuff. He was in Fargo, he was in House Bunny, and he plays the older version of one of the guys in the movie. And he is Tom Hanks' son. And it's weird because when you learn that, you look at him and you're like, huh, he kind of looks like it makes sense
How did I
after
not
you know
notice?
it.
Right.
But he's actually a really good actor. But yeah, it was funny. Worth a watch, definitely.
Cool.
I can
What
see
about
that.
you?
I think it looks like fun and funny, and I can totally see casting Jack Black in that sort of role because he's so good with physical comedy.
There's this one part where he goes, face it, you're a babe, just own it. And it's just the, I just died. I mean, Ventura and I both look at each other and we're like, oh, that's hilarious. Mostly because we call each other babe as a total joke because it's like the most, it's like the stupidest way to refer to one another. So we both like have the, anyway, it was funny. It was a good time.
Let me see. For those of you that know the long-running saga of my son Connor got a couple really gigantic boxes of comics from an ex-girlfriend's mother who was an estate lawyer. And I took them from him and was trying to sell them off piece by piece because no one would buy them. This was a couple of years ago, and the market for comics was really bad then. So it's been slow going, picking at it here and there. I've bought some and given them the money and given them away, but the market's good right now for sellers. So I took them over to my local comic book store and saw Ryan, who's been a guest on this show, and he bought a pile about this big of comics, old comics, Wonder Woman. I mean, I had a lot of stuff that's hot right now that also wasn't hot then. So I made like $50 that I PayPal'd to Connor to help him with his college bills, and Ryan was like, it's a slow day in the store. I don't have a lot in the register. Bring them back. And now I have two more boxes to take over as well. So over the next probably Friday and Saturday, I'll go back when he's working and be selling more comics. And my son, I think he just had given up on the whole making anything on it because I told him and he was like, cool. You know what? Don't sell anything you want. Keep what you want. I'm like, okay, well, maybe too late on a couple things, but I'm nabbing a few things and giving a few cool things away as gifts and probably still make him some money.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, this week I did my Gardens of Destiny LARP. It was so cold, but I had a lot of fun. I was fortunate that my
How'd the
character
robe
wears a
work
fur
out?
coat. The robe actually was really, I had a really like character moment because I took a shower in the middle of the day because the bathroom at the place where we were was the warmest place in the whole. It was like 10 degrees warmer in the bathroom. So I went and I just took a hot shower and just stood under the hot water for a little bit. And so I was wearing the robe over the nightgown and putting my makeup back on. And I was just like, wow, I am so noir right now. It's just really funny because I had the hair up and the towel and everything. I was just like, all right, look at me go. So this is a weird kind of moment, but let's see. I did have a whole lot of fun though. It was awesome. And the staff was very cognizant of the weather, so they made sure if there was fights outside, they were very quick, and that we could go back in and get warm. And I'm hoping that nobody gets sick. I managed not to get sick, but that's mostly because I stayed inside a lot because my character's an indoor cat. Let's see. I started Ivysaur this week on my Pokemon stream. I've got a head and a body. They're sitting over there on my little table.
What night is it you're doing that?
I'm gonna try to do it every Monday night and then maybe on Fridays a little earlier because I get off work at 3 instead of 5. So I'm gonna try and do Monday Fridays.
Okay.
And hopefully I'll get a rhythm to that going. It's a different pattern. It's made by a totally different person. So the Ivysaur is, I think, turning out smaller than the Bulbasaur, but that's okay. It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah. And I got my acceptance email from MomoCon this week. So I'm going to be at a table in Art of Sally. Yay!
And which led me to begin a Porg prototype. Got him started. My Porg prototype. His little feet are on. I've got little wings. So I gotta put them together.
He's so silly. I love it.
He's so tiny. I either need to get like really big shiny buttons for his eyes, or I need to figure out a way to like maybe do some felt ones. I'm not sure yet. I'll figure that out.
Just googly eyes.
Yeah, googly, just googly eyes.
Googly eyes are the answer to everything.
That's right. True. I saw on Facebook somebody had posted a picture of the monster manual, and they had googly eyed it. So all the monsters on the monster manual for D&D had googly eyes.
I might do that to my husband's. I bought a bag of googly eyes. He's wildly entertained by them. I have like really big ones. But I also put some on his monitor one day.
Cool. All right, so that's everybody. We can move on to the Geek Grapevine. I got from thegeektyrant.com. There's a photo from Marvel Ant-Man and Wasp. I got it for Jen because I know she likes it. It shows them suited up.
I totally watched Ant-Man last night. I bought it on Blu-ray, and I happened to watch it last night because Ventura hadn't seen it. So it's really appropriate that we're looking at this today. Sweet. Because the stinger at the end is her beautiful suit being shown to her.
But she looks really good. Like, I think, he's got the two, like, red. She's got, like, one visor of gold or orange or whatever. She looks really good. So
yes,
I'm actually pretty excited about that.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much stoked for this, and I'm glad that we have kind of a, I don't know if we have an exact date, but I think we have a range of,
it like, is, a date range. Hold on, it's at the bottom. Anna and the Lost will be released on July 6th, 2018. Yes,
we actually have a date. Okay, cool. So, yes. Yeah, I'm super stoked. I just think it's a fun story. You know, one of the things that I've seen people do is they get too serious about comic books sometimes. And some comic books are very serious, and that's okay. But I think that Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man are kind of those areas where Marvel really excels at that, just the comedic. Like, they're not ridiculous, but you are kind of like, yeah, I'm Ant-Man. And you're like, really, Ant-Man? But then, it's a really great character. And I think Paul Rudd was like the absolute best choice for that character because he really made something with it. He has just that right amount of awkward humor, but still kind of, I'm an attractive, cool guy, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
He just has that right weirdo mix to make that role perfect and really just make it, I've been pretty happy with it. Just rewatching it last night gave me some perspective on it.
Well, and again, I kind of hope that this one is going to be another caper movie where they have to go steal something. So looking forward to that.
And if I can get more Hank Pym, I will always be happy with more Hank Pym all the time. Hank Pym. In fact, I think I actually have. Oh, I do. I do have it right here. I'm not going to clink too much, but I actually have my Hank Pym drinking glass. It looks like a beaker.
Cool. Yeah.
It actually has my bottle opener in it. Sorry, it's clanky.
Right. So now on to a sadder thing.
Yeah, I know. I was like going to do the deep breath. I'm like, So I was not aware because I'm not on Facebook right now. And sadly, so I'm probably going to pronounce her name wrong, but Dolores O'Riordan, the lead singer of the Cranberries, passed. And not a lot of detail on exactly what. They're asking for privacy. She was 46, and that's just sad because she had a beautiful voice, and I really love some of their songs. Mm-hmm. Linger is one of my favorite songs like of all time. So I will include the New York Times article. Maybe it'll be updated by then with some more details, but right now it's pretty light on details, but there are some really great videos to check out. And Ember, if you get a link to that. So in the pre-show, Ember was talking about when she did a Tiny Desk concert with NPR, and hopefully we can get a link to that because that would be really cool to check out.
Yeah, sure. I'll put that in the show notes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good way to kind of, I like to kind of celebrate their life and listen. Like when Tom Petty passed, I went and I listened to, did a listen, and I don't know. Oh, so man. Nice to do that for me.
David Bowie.
Coverville.
David Bowie had a whole day.
Yeah, I cried a lot for that one.
Coverville, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Brian Abbott already has a Coverville out for...
I figured. Bands, yeah, so. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian always does a good job at that, and I appreciate it, too, because it helps. I always like to listen to those.
Yeah, I'm looking
forward Bummerino.
To yeah.
Really big music in my scene back in the day. So I want to make a sort of correction. I had brought up in an earlier Geek Grapevine that John Williams was scoring the Han Solo movie, and he's not really doing the score. He is doing the theme. John Powell, in fact, is doing the rest of the score. We know him from Shrek. We'll forgive that, I guess. but he does the music for How to Train Your Dragon.
I love that Bourne, music.
And the Bourne series is a really important one, too. I actually really like the soundtrack from the Bourne series a lot. And also How to Train Your Dragon, also really good.
Yeah, and I think his work is distinctive enough, and it should go really well with the composers they're inviting to work on this score.
Yeah. I love his, at least the ones that I've heard. I love his score music, so super psyched about that. So that'll be good.
Yay.
I like music. Yay. Okay, so moving on to our discussion topic.
It's an eight-part documentary series about the toys that we all know. Plastic creations that last for generations and we still cannot let go. Little molded figures that gave us big dreams will go back in time and behind the scenes. It's the toys that made us.
Toys that made us.
Toys that made us is here.
This was kind of inspired by the new Netflix series, The Toys That Made Us, which is pretty interesting so far. I think they've gotten up to their fourth episode now. And so we were going to talk about nostalgia toys, you know, toys that we grew up with, toys that may or may not be PC nowadays and the like. So, who wants to go first?
Oh man, there's some weird stuff out there in that arena. I will be honest, I really wanted to watch more of this series just leading into this conversation, but I was like hopped up on cold medicine while watching it. But it is really good. I really encourage anybody, go check out that series. It's on Netflix, and it's not what I expected it to be. It really there's stories that I just didn't realize, like, where things came from, and also apparently how impressionable I was, like, almost how my obsession with toys and making my parents buy me things and other children in the 80s spawned, like, TV shows, basically, and also, like, more products, and I don't know, it's kind of nutty.
Oh, geez. The whole Transformers series was a giant ad, okay?
Basically, yeah, absolutely. Well, and then, like, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was kind of the same thing. And then the X-Men stuff was all there, Uncanny X-Men. I think the one that I remember, like, my earliest, if I had, like, an earliest memory of a show that I watched that I then had a bunch of toys for, it would be Gem and the Holograms and Rainbow Bright. I was... I watched friggin' obsessed.
Well, it was I watched the reruns of Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
I found it really interesting, the cultural transformations and examination that took place with things like, I mean, the whole story of Barbie being, you know, little girls, little boys had action toys. They had guns and they would pretend to be cowboys and they had, you know, things that evoked
freaking G.I. Joe's,
play.
Man.
No, yeah. G.I. Joe's, yeah. But... parallel, yeah, and then because Joe's came later, but girls just had baby dolls because it was like taking care of babies and stoves because you're learning to be a mommy and to cook, and it was pushed by this woman who was just like, girls should have some kind of I can be anything imaginative play, and the whole idea of Barbie. And there's this super funny part where the model for it came from, like, basically a porn doll. Which is amazing. But
the proportions are definitely questionable.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But there's another reason for the proportions that happen with the clothing, because when you put the fabrics that are made for us have these giant threads and knits and yarns, and when you're trying to make little tiny clothes, she had to be out of proportion. Like, nowadays we come all down on this, you know, not a realistic body image, but that's not how that happened. They had to make the waist so small, you know, because otherwise the clothes would look fucking weird, because you needed to make them, after they put clothes on them, look proportional. And that's in this, you know, part of the story.
I mean, obviously they're not meant to be anatomically accurate. Look at the private parts. Come on, people. Calm down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there's a whole thing in there about how what they went through with Ken. Which is hysterical. And it's really great to listen to these people that were there at the time developing the toys. About these changes. But I remember their toys they talked about that I remember, like, fashion plates. I didn't have them.
Yes.
My stepsister they had some, though. And I loved those.
They had the Barbie fashion plates, which I had a set of those growing up. Like, for a good 6 months, I wanted to be a fashion designer. So my mom got me those, and I could just play with them. They also got me because my dad, he works at CDC, and they have, like, the most up-to-date computers. So whenever they would retire a computer, he would bring it home. So we had a computer going as far back as, like, 93, I want to say. Like, I had a computer growing up. It didn't necessarily go onto the internet, but so I had a computer program for Barbie that you could print your own clothing for Barbie. And it had this special fabric paper that would then peel off of a paperback, and you could put the Velcro on there and make your own Barbie clothing.
I had high tech talking about crocheting things that you shouldn't crochet, and we're talking about that in the pre-show too.
Yeah.
I actually used to try to crochet outfits for my Barbie dolls because I knew how to crochet because my grandmother taught me, which is not a good plan, by the way. I have some weird ass, I still have some of them too, because I save them just for, I don't know, because it's funny to look at. In fact, I almost pulled out the case, because it's just in my garage, of my some of the goofy Barbies that I still have, because I kept a couple. But Barbie was definitely a central part of my childhood as far as toys, because Barbie could be anything. Like, I love the fact, I had the Barbie convertible, because she had, like, the cool convertible car. I had the Malibu Barbie, like, paradise villa or whatever the hell that thing was, the house that she lived in.
Wow.
I had, like, I'm a pilot Barbie. I had I'm a whatever came out next Barbie. I even had Skipper, Barbie's little sister, with more appropriate sized A cups.
we didn't have much money. I didn't have many toys like that. I had one Barbie. Yeah. I had a Superstar Barbie. And it was, like, the biggest deal in the world that I got it. And then somehow some people pitched in, and my dad, and I got the townhouse, which, what a piece of garbage.
Was that the A-frame open one?
No, it was, like, columns. It was, like, three stories of plastic, and then just cardstock, basically, backgrounds, and an elevator that you had to pull a string. Or, you know, it was supposed to wind on a spool, but that shit never worked. So I got
my
that
mom's
and like one Barbie.
Barbie clothes.
And my sister chewed the feet off my Barbie.
Oh my god, I have chewed feet Barbies. I got rid of them finally, but I did have chewed
and
feet Barbies.
Hands,
like,
so Barbie had big paddles.
Why?
Yeah. And I don't think
I had,
but like my best friend had one of those heads that you'd style the hair.
Oh god, my friend had one of those.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
I was surprised those were not more prominently featured in the series, because they were kind of like Barbie branded, but a throwback to that fashion thing that they were kind of trying not to do with Barbie for a long time.
My friend also had the My Size Barbie, the 3 foot tall thing. Yeah.
Oh, I had the other one that caught me, that cracked me up, was just the fact that, like, they I remember when they updated Barbie too. Like, I had my mom's hand-me-down Barbies and my stepmom. I had some from each of them, and then some of their clothes. So I had some pretty wicked, like, 70s classy outfits. some really cool stuff. But my mom also made me some custom Barbie clothes, and my grandmother did too.
Yeah, my grand made for me, yeah. Me,
but they always would, like, make me a little Barbie crap. But the thing that always got me was I had the Barbie ornaments every year because my grandmother used to buy them for me. Barbie, they had the Barbie ornaments that went out all the time. But what really cracked me up is when they started to do, like, the collector's edition Barbies and people that keep them in boxes and all that. Like,
yes,
that's I've seen some collections, and I'm like, whoa, like, I would have freaked, like, I was a child that was like, it's out, out of the package. It's probably already, like, broken.
I didn't get those until I was, like, a little bit older. Like, there, I got to a point where I was reading more than I was playing with dolls. So my mom got me, like, two of those collector's ones. I got, like, the Chinese New Year one. And I got the vintage 50s, I think it was, or whatever.
I got the Vivian Leigh Gone with the Wind Barbie. That was the only collector's one that I remember owning. And that was a big deal to me because my grandmother bought it for me. Her name was actually Vivian Leigh, spelled differently for the Lee. But so she always had this weird connection. She would have me, like, watch those old movies and stuff. So I had the Vivian Leigh Gone with the Wind Barbie. But I don't really remember, like, having any of the other ones owning them. But I've definitely seen some collections. People get into their Barbie collecting. Like, that's, it's crazy.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering.
So I have one collectible Barbie I bought in 2012. I bought two. Actually, I bought one for my niece because she's little, so she should have it. But it was the Barbie 2012, and it was during the 2012 election. And I love this. Right in the front of the lectern, it's like, stands on her own.
Oh my God. But that's cute, though.
Yeah,
I don't think it doesn't bother me. Her proportions and all that doesn't really bother me. I just thought she was really fun to dress up. I like the fact that she could do different things. I do think Ken was stupid. I did not enjoy Ken. I think we talked about this in the after show, but I'll rehash briefly here for the sake of our audio listeners. I had a couple G.I. Joes, and I specifically had two Ken dolls. And in my child mind, that meant that Ken and Ken were together, and they were a couple, and they lived in one house, and Barbie and her boyfriend, G.I. Joe, lived in a different house with her sister, because that obviously that was the kind of man that Barbie would marry.
The one where her sister, yeah.
the not super gay Ken.
Yeah. Oh,
because,
boy.
Yeah, that was how my mind worked.
Because then they did have the horrible talking Barbie incident.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. None of those. Nope, no ma'am.
Yeah.
It's still not as creepy as the talking poo. My little brother had a talking poo bear as a child that my mom and I used to call molester poo or, like, pedo poo or something weird. Because it was just Winnie the Pooh, and it would go, do you want a hug? I want to give you a
It's like, no,
it was just so creepy. It was like, I want you to never be around me ever.
No, I'm super glad that my parents never ever got me a Furby. God, I would have chucked it out the window.
Oh, I had a Furby. And it got stuck on, and we couldn't find it. It was, like, in the corner of, like, my room somewhere, like, underneath stuff. It's bad. It's funny, we didn't have a lot of money, but my mom always made sure that I had legit toys, and I had God, you know, talking about, like, the ones that were, like, definitely targeted towards us with TV and with the toys, for me was My Little Pony. I was super in. I had the My Little Pony Palace. I think it's still in the attic at my dad's house. I was super into My Little Pony. I think it was only because the chick's name was Jessica, and so that excited me because I was, like, it was kind of like Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a J name, so that made it cool. I don't know.
They didn't have a lot of that when I was a kid. Toys weren't really on TV yet. Of course, we didn't have a lot of cartoons on TV.
I had Winnie the Pooh toys.
Kind of old.
See,
cartoons were still, like, Saturday mornings sometimes, if that's what they play on the Disney show, if you're lucky. Like, it was really weird. Although, one of my first toys that I remember was Underdog.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with those Zip cars. They have, like, the plastic and all the neighborhood boys had these drag races. You go shoom, and they race them right down the driveways. And I had an Underdog one, and I loved Underdog. Underdog and
so
Super
cute.
Chicken and Roger Ramjet, right?
He had the best. He had the best song. Like, honestly, it was just I was also super into Mighty Mouse.
And that was in that same little block when the tunes would come on. But Underdog had like a plane and a boat and a car that would like snap on top of it, and then he could pull the zip thing and I would race him with. And all the boys had cars. But I do remember that toy, and I remember I wanted a Slinky so bad. I remember commercials for Slinkies. They had a little catchy, catchy song.
Very catchy.
We didn't have stairs. It was like a ranch house. So I tried to use one of the basement stairs, which are, you know, like, not regulation, really far apart, and a hole between the steps, and that didn't work out real well. I also had a little sister, so they would just get wrecked really fast.
I had a dog that would destroy my toys. The toys that got destroyed, it was because I let my dog get away with everything. I didn't have siblings at the time, so he just got to do whatever the hell he wanted. I had, the other one I had was Polly Pocket. I was so into Polly Pocket. I like, and it was funny because they're this stupid little thing. They're so stupid.
The
even
tiniest.
As a child, they were so friggin' tiny, and I would get so frustrated.
I still have in that closet behind me is a bag full of my Polly Pockets.
I used to have mine. Mine got donated within the last couple years. They got donated to somebody, handed down. Finally, my mom had them.
I'm scared to donate mine because they are a choking hazard now. They're so tiny.
Yeah, they're terrifying. Yeah, they would not be able to sell those to children now because there would be, like, lawsuits out the wazoo.
The Polly Pockets now are, like, you know, this big. But the Polly Pockets of my day were that small. It's like...
They're just, like, little. They're teeny. They are.
How did
they're
I not die?
Teeny. They're, like, the size of, like, the plastic part of a pushpin. Like, that's how big a Polly Pocket was. And they'd go in the little thing, and they'd have, like, little things that go with them. I feel like, you know, it's funny because, like, I was an only child at that point, and it's funny how, like, that's what I interacted with was my mom had rabbit ears, so we never really had good TV, and she watched soap, so there was always, like, a soap being recorded or being, like, watched, or, so I didn't really watch I didn't watch a lot of TV growing up, except for my mom's soaps, I guess, and 90210. But she was always into random shows, but so it was just me hanging out by myself. So I also would really get excited about things that I could just do alone, like Legos and Lincoln Logs. And I was super into all the building stuff. I was always so jealous because like the neighborhood boys always had like the Hot Wheel things with the zippy doohas and the zip around and go through the tunnels and the ramps and all that. And I'm like, all right, well, that was way cool. I was always super jealous of boy toys, pretty much. And then my uncle, who has no children of his own, he was like the uncle that would just, as long as we put our Christmas list together, he would buy us more toys than we probably needed. But he would buy us RC cars, which was like my favorite. But yeah, he would totally buy me something that was outside of the realm of girl stuff if I asked for it. But for the most part, it was like, some of the girl toys just sucked. It was like, all right, here's a baby that you get to take care of. It poops and pees, realistically. And I'm like, gross. Like, I have no interest.
Right?
Yeah, no thanks. Let's see, what else? Like, I would have thought that I would have been really into My Little Pony, but actually, the toy that I really liked that I had a bajillion of were called Grand Champions, which were, like, actual horses.
The horses, yeah.
Yeah, I was obsessed with horses growing up. I remember I once told my mom, I think they're God's Most Beautiful Creatures or something like that. So I had a bajillion of them. I have no idea where they are now. But they were made of like the really hard plastic. They didn't move at all.
But didn't they? Some of them have like that weird felty material though, a little bit sometimes.
I think later on they did. I think they changed it up. But yeah, like every time we went to the store where there was a toy section, be it Walmart, Target, what have you, that's what I wanted. That was what I wanted was my Grand Champions, and I collected just. I think I have over the years, I've noticed that I need to have a collection of something. I think it might be a slight neurosis. I'm not sure. But, like, I collected those. I collected American Girl dolls. I have, those are also in that closet because they creep out my husband. I used to have them up on the shelf over there. And he was like, they're all staring at me. It's like, it's my room, but okay.
So American Girl dolls, that is one that, okay,
I would get them for a Christmas present because they were expensive, so I would get one a year until I grew out of them.
Yeah, well, see, I was a December baby, so it was like I had to go for everything. It was like that was the time when I got any presents. It was in December. So, but luckily, both of my parents were December babies, so I think because they understood that, they always made sure, my mom always made sure to respect my birthday. Yeah. Because she's also a December baby. My dad has, he's a Christmas day. He's the worst. they were so expensive, but I was really into it because of the books. Like, I really
like.
Yeah,
I love those books.
I think her name was Felicity. I think it was a Felicity. I don't know. She was the redhead.
Yes. Felicity was the first one. Excuse me, I get into my nerdness. Felicity was the one.
As you'll see.
Yeah, as you'll see. She was the one from 1776. 1770? Yeah, 1776, because that was a Revolutionary War.
Was that the one? Maybe it was a different one then. Well, I don't know. Is she the one that, like, was, like, always too spunky and would get in trouble?
Yes.
Didn't want to sit yet. Yeah, I loved her. Yep. I wanted her so bad. And I never got one. And then my sister, who was, like, 8 years younger than me, she got a Samantha and all the fixins, and I was like, really, I can't even have one. And then I bitched about it so much that my dad actually ended up buying me one of the ones that's like the Just Like Me American Girl doll.
Oh yeah,
your own story.
See,
I had like the bunk bed and stuff, but it was encouraging you to like write your own story though, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I didn't become aware of them a couple years ago. Oh yeah, like, the books are really
good,
and you can get one that looks
good
like
books.
You.
Yeah, and
when I became aware of them, I started looking around, and when I was looking around for them, what I found that a local library had started a program where you could pitch in and donate, and they have like a borrow the doll and books program for lower income kids who can't afford those dolls. I thought that was really fantastic.
Sweet, that's really sweet.
I love that you could like send them back to the factory for fixing.
Yeah.
if you need to get their hair repaired or whatever.
My gran made bunches of clothes for me for them. Like she would do the Barbies, and then she liked those better because they were easier clothes to make.
Rather than the super tiny Barbie shaped itty bitty. We use a lot of Velcro. Velcro is like the key to making Barbie clothes because then you could just like never have to sew the back. It was just everything was well, and the funny thing is the older ones and the ones that I made and the ones that my mom had made when she was younger had those little silver buttons, you know, those little tiny silver buttons. That was that. But then eventually when Velcro was a thing, we just moved over to Velcro.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's
interesting in the series to see how Star Wars changed everything.
Yeah.
We're going to do action figures this big. And holy cow. Mm-hmm. And then it was just every other company in the world trying to catch up. And that's how things like, we'll have a comic book because they had this make up property because Star Wars had this like property that became so popular and overwhelming that no other toy company could do shit in that market without creating media around it.
Yeah.
Well, no kidding. He-Man, like He-Man was big and I was into She-Ra. Because she's the female.
Yeah.
I only got into that because I was babysitting my cousins. I was living at their house, and my aunt had run off. So I was living there.
Hi.
And they watched it every day after school. And, you know, I knew the theme song and stuff.
Hi,
Kitty. Yeah, none of us had any of the toys.
Hi, Kitty.
Kitty is like, hi, I would like to participate.
It's that time of the podcast. Linda's cat shows up.
Yep.
I don't know. I never really got bothered too much by the fact that they would push all the girl toys. I just hated when it was like there was no other option. Like, I as long as I had the option to do something else, like, I was cool. I just hated how when it was like, oh, well, obviously you're supposed to like these toys. And I did sometimes feel like the boy toys were way more fun. That used to tick me off a little bit.
Well, there's parts like, of that that have always been ridiculous to me. Like, I used to be really into bicycles. Like I said, I didn't have a lot of toys when I was
I biked
little.
Everywhere.
But I got a bicycle, and that was like a big deal. There's still a photograph of it somewhere.
I think my uncle was the one that bought one of my bicycles, but it was the same thing.
Yeah, and so I would be out with the neighborhood boys, and we used to do this Ghost Rider thing. We'd run really fast with the bike and let it go and see whose bike would go the farthest, and we would, like, mod our bikes to try and get them more balanced that way, and, like, ones with banana seats worked better than the other kind of seats, and, you know. stuff like that.
And then
the,
put playing cards
the
in your spokes.
And repainting them. And, but the girl bikes having that lack of the crossbar in the frame. If you're doing stuff like jumping a ditch, I'd be like worried I'm going to bend my frame. And it never made sense. Like, that difference in the bike. Like,
yeah, it was like, hey, let's put a thing that's going to ram
seat,
the shit.
If yeah, you that... slip off your banana seat onto the bar, who's going to take more damn damage from that bar? Why do the boys' bikes have the bar to stabilize it?
Well, okay.
It always cracked me up because I was like, okay, I get it. Like, they don't want little girls getting assaulted by the bar of the bicycle. But I do have that same feeling where I'm like, why did they have to be different? But
the,
also,
the premise was that boys were harder on them. It was to stabilize the frame.
Yeah, you know, okay. Why is it beat the shit out of my bike?
Mm-hmm. I think it's also a holdover from when biking first became a
skirts.
Big thing, which is when women still wore skirts all the time.
That's true. That is true. But I also think that putting a straight bar across the middle, just inviting your manhood to be destroyed, your soon-to-be manhood, to never become a manhood at that point.
Well, it's a learning
right.
tool. It's a learning.
It's a learning.
It's a learning tool to keep them from doing stupid things. It doesn't always work, but it's there.
I'd say never.
Oh my god.
I did also
okay,
have a
so...
skateboard, which I was gonna look up a picture. If I find one, I will put a link in the notes because I looked.
Did you have the old one where the
so like this the, is 1970
like, or whatever
six
yeah.
maybe five right? So it's like maybe 6 inches wide at its widest point, and it comes with an actual point at the front and a little tiny bit of a kick plate on the back. And the trucks were so tight, I was like constantly adjusting the trucks just to try and get it to turn a little. Like getting it straight down the driveway, maybe. Oh, it was the worst piece of garbage. But like, there were a handful of us in the neighborhood that have them, and we were like, most of our time with them was spent sitting on them, like in a circle, talking about them, right, in the garage, and what we were gonna do, and you know, trying to adjust the truck so that they would move and not fall off at the same time, and learning about how ball bearings work. So that's cool once you break them, but.
So
I had
quick
hogs. That's the other one.
And a quick question to kind of round out our discussion before we move on. Did you have any toys that would not be considered PC nowadays? Because I did.
I'm curious what comes to the front of your mind instantly.
I had a puppy surprise. They had a bunch of them. There was a puppy surprise, kitty surprise, and a bunny surprise. I don't know if there's any others. But basically, you bought it, and it was a mama, and then you would open its belly, and it would have babies in it. I don't know if those still
exist.
I
totally remember that.
I don't know if those still
exist.
And
they do not exist anymore. No, they definitely do not exist anymore.
Why would that not be PC, though? I don't... Even...
It's. I had a Mr. Bucket where the balls pop in and out of his mouth. And there's a song that went with it. Mr. Bucket. The balls pop. The commercials were so bad. Like,
yes.
I used to rock 'em, sock 'em, robot. I was into every two. Like, all those stupid commercials would get me.
I still remember the jingle for Puppy Surprise.
See? That's
and
like,
it's been years.
It's in your brain.
Can't think of any offhand, but. In that note, I guess what brings to my mind is that when I was little, Denny's was Sambo's. So at some point, I'm sure I had.
Yeah.
Denny's was branded like Denny's is taking shit over the years for being racist for any number of other reasons. But back in the day, like before Denny's bought them, they changed the name of a pile of them. They own this brand. And it was called Sambo's, which is just a really racist term to begin with. And the whatever the mascot was a little questionable.
I don't know if they would ever. I don't know. They wouldn't really be like not PC, but they were just creepy as hell. But I had Cabbage Patch dolls.
Oh,
they were
yeah.
creepy as shit. Those are the creepy little things.
Those
but there was
creepy.
Also like. Sally Secrets, did you? And then the audio journal ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many weird things, honestly. And oh my god! And I'm like, people would never I don't really think a lot of those things would be of interest anymore.
There's the reason why they're not selling anymore. If nobody buys them, they're not going to make them anymore.
Early 20s pregnancy Barbie. I don't know. She was called like Family Barbie or something like that.
But yes. As a baby. Yes. There was a pregnancy Barbie. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be around anymore.
No.
16 and pregnant Barbie edition.
Right. Because it was an unwed mother issue. Like,
yes.
Oh, can't do that.
Oh,
you can't
man.
Marry Ken either. Like,
different anything creative too, like Play-Doh. Oh, and like, the
God,
graph
fun
one,
factory,
like the
that was
one that went around.
Like, I used to pray for a 64 box of crayons with the sharpener. I would pray for it at night when I was little.
I
what's great is a friend of mine from high school remembers that from when we were little, and he got me a 64 box of crayons with a sharpener for like my, I think it was my 21st birthday.
So cute. So if y'all want to tell us about, you know, toys that you had as youngins, you can please chime in by emailing us at geekgirls@gmail.com or giving us a ring at 508-474-5577. So
I'm sure there's non-PC things that we missed. I would love to
I'm
hear.
Sure. I am so sure. So, Grills, what are you most anticipating right now? Jen?
So I'm going to stream the next episode of the Walking Dead Telltale series. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be really fun. I really am enjoying it a lot. It's just a fun way to experience. This is my first time playing a Telltale game. Like, I've watched one, like, briefly. I watched somebody play The Wolf Among Us, and I really like the style. I like that you're kind of integrated into a story, so I'm looking forward to doing that. I did get my copy of Civ 6 early for paying for my Humble Bundle early for February. Which reminds me, if you don't have Humble Bundle, Civ 6 is in the February Humble Bundle. And it's $12. That's really hard to say. So you get that and other games. But anyway, so that I'm going to play the crap out of that. I've already spent hours in the tutorial, so we're screwed. And then I got my Movie Pass card. So this shit is crazy.
Ooh.
So one of our patrons, actually, my buddy, was the one that told me about this. He's like, yeah, well, you got to get a Movie Pass. I was like, yeah, the AMC Club. And he's like, no. The Movie Pass, and it's like literally you pay $10, and I don't really understand how their business model works. You basically pay $10 a month, and you can go see one movie every day.
Yeah, my husband has it. He
like,
used the crap out of it.
And so now I'm gonna go see movies all the freaking time. So I'm looking forward to that. And then on Thursday, I'm gonna be on What's Cooking with Jackie Hearn. She is of Diamond Club fame. And it'll be streaming on her Twitch channel, so I'll make sure there's links for that. And also at diamondclub.tv, we'll show the live channel as well. And I'll also host it. But yeah, so I'm going to be on her show, and I'm really looking forward to it. That'll be Thursday, and that will be at 7/7:30 p.m. Eastern.
So is that like another talk show, or what
yeah,
is
so
on that show?
So she is a podcaster. She kind of went into, she took some time, and took a little bit of a wee break, and so she's coming back and doing episodes. She kind of does them when she wants, yeah, it's just her talk show. We're just gonna BS for a little while and share it with people. So yeah, check it out.
Cool. How about you, Amber?
Actually, Jen, you know, back at Nerdtacular, I thought she was Mike TV's wife because they were like attached at the hip the whole time.
Oh no, that's Ashley that you're thinking of.
Oh,
that's Yuri's wife, Ashley. Jackie wasn't actually. So
okay.
What's Cooking isn't actually a cooking show, funny enough. But Jackie didn't make it spectacular, which is so sad. And I need to meet her in person because she's super fun.
So what I'm looking for is in February our little local winter Comic Con is happening, and when I was in the shop, I looked and they don't have any pouches or bags or anything. Somebody else was doing them for a while, and they've got nothing. So I'm going to be sewing a whole bunch of stuff for them to sell at the Comic-Con. That makes me happy. Commission
Yay.
Is good. excuse me. I've been sick. Starting a new D&D game next week. The second edition I mentioned last week, I was too sick to go yesterday. But looking forward to that as well.
Oh, this mega flu going around is the worst.
I'm pretty sure it's not that because I'm already starting to feel better.
Yeah. I don't know what I don't know if I had the mega flu, but I was not feeling good for a while. I've already had it, so I probably should still go get it though. I should go get the flu shot, even if I've already been sick. I don't want the mutated strain. I don't want it back.
Yeah. I mean, this one got me, but I will say I normally get super duper duper sick. And I did not end up getting super duper duper sick this year. So I think it did keep me from getting sick more than I would have.
Yeah, I'll go over to my local place and get the flu shot. And I am going to be going to dinner and catching up with a friend that I haven't seen in about 6 months. This is the lady I told you about who's becoming a life coach. She apparently was dealing with some depression issues and has pretty much kind of turned it around and got her attitude back and is feeling better. So I'm going to go see her on Thursday, and we're going to go eat at the Chili's and chat and probably go walk around the Joanne's craft store, and because we both like making things. We're both like, she's an actual seamstress, like she makes corsets for a living, so that's like us going through a walk in the park. Is we're just gonna go walk through the Joann's. And on Sunday I am recording Glitter Dice, more specifically Glitter Dice Plays, which is our little gaming thing that we do every couple of months. We are going to be playing Monster Hearts, which is a really hilarious, well, it can be really dark, but you are playing a teenage monster, basically. It's a CW version of like a monster romp. And I don't know what I'm going to play yet. You get to pick a skin, is what they're called. So you can play like a fae, or you can play a vampire, or a ghost, or a werewolf, or you can play a mortal. That's a thing you can do. And it's all about like being in high school and learning how to deal with your being a monster while you're in high school, and how you decide to either mess with people or try and keep people safe. It's very interesting. So I'm excited about that. 'Cause that's coming up. So
That sounds really awesome. You got so much stuff going on. Okay, so I just want to remind everybody, Geek Grills is fully and completely in every way supported by our patrons, and we would very much like to thank our patrons. They have been with us for a while now. I kind of am a little bit mind blown right now that we're on episode 74. I was like, what episode is this? And I just can't believe that we've been doing this for 74 episodes. It's really exciting. And so I just want to say thanks again. We love you patrons. You guys are awesome. If you're not yet a patron and you would like to become one, please do. Even if it's just $1 a month, anything. Just help us out if you can. You can do that at patreon.com/grills. That's GRILLS. So yeah, come check it out. The Patreon and join us.
Are there any codes to be given away or anything?
Yeah, I still actually have some stuff too. So honestly, we had done this before, and we still would love to do this for our new patrons. I think it was the $5 mark, or it should be listed on the page. But for a few bucks a month, you become a patron, and I have a list of game codes that needs to be updated. But I do have free games to hand out to our new patrons. So yeah,
join today.
Support.
And hey, maybe we'll put up a thing where I'll make you something. I'll make you a port.
We have actually a...
It's almost done now. Level. It needs a face.
I love to pork. We do actually have a level where you get swag, and I think we could make the adjustment to include that as our swag. And we have not had a top dog patron for a little bit, so... That slot is still there too, and we will let you basically, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you guys as patrons get to have the most influence on what we talk about. You get to be in the channels where we do pay attention, and our patrons have actually chosen a lot of our topics and have directed a lot of the content. So we really appreciate you guys and would love to have you as a patron. So yeah, join up.
And we love iTunes reviews. We heart them. They are very good for us. They help people find our podcast. Leaving a review is free. And they help our ranking on iTunes. You could also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word. We'd really appreciate it. So where can we find y'all on the internet?
First, I want two shout-outs. Sorry, I want to say thank you, Mac.
Oh, that's fine.
My friend Mac, local photographer, came up to me in the bar the other night and was like, I love your channel, man. I'm like, my what? I'm like, the internet, Twitch. I'm like, oh. And he's like, keep doing what you're doing. You girls are great. You're killing it. Like, he was really enthusiastic and supportive, and I really appreciate that. That's, like, fucking awesome. And I got message on Facebook from my friend Thomas the other day, who's a big Flash comic nerd that I know locally, who was like, thanks for turning me on to podcasts. I'm listening to Nerdist now. Can I get yours on that app you showed me? And I want to listen to more. And, like, thanks, man. Every little bit of feedback and encouragement is something that we love to get. People looking for me, I can be reached at 9 of 12. It's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast as well.
Rock on. You can find me on Twitter at TheGenSays and streaming at twitch.tv/TheGenPlays. Please check out What's Cooking on Thursday. We should have a pretty good time. It'll be more fun if we have people in chat. So come check it out.
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice. And when we do the Glitter Dice plays, you can listen to me playing characters and being silly. And you can find me on Twitch under the name TruNoob, TRUN00B. That's where I do my creative streaming for all my Pokemon plushies. So thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
Played.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.